As we continue with this series in the book of Philippians, today we come to one of the most familiar passages in the entire book, and it was actually part of the main focus of the very first sermon in this series. It begins in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." Say that with me. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." Sing it with me. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice." I don't know about you, but that is one of the most irritating verses in the scripture. When I am down, I want you to be down with me. When I am grieving, I want you to grieve with me. When I am lonely, I want you to be lonely with me. And for some Pollyanna Christian to come along and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought, I hear some chuckles, I think somebody. But you know what? It is not a Pollyanna Christian who came along and said that. It is God himself. This is his word. God said, rejoice. Always. And God wants that joy that he has planted inside of us to come out of us as we worship him. Did you sense the joy and the music and the singing and the readings this morning when we came in? It's been a joyful service. I hope I don't mess that up. And that's going to lead to a prize, according to this word, and we're going to talk about that prize when we get there. If you're like me, you would rather be around joyful people than mournful people. Amen? The problem is that there are so many Christians who look like they were baptized in lemon juice. They just have grumpy faces all the time. They complain all the time. Maybe that's why Paul had to say it twice. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Maybe he knew how much we needed to hear. Let's think about that verse, not as a command, but as an invitation. I like invitations. Invitation. Now, here is a good quote from a good Baptist pastor. You don't need to amen that. By the name of Brian Bill, and this is what he said. He said, "To have the fruit of joy ripen in our lives is to recognize the journey involved in getting there. It takes time, diligence, patience, and hard work to make a grapevine produce grapes. Fruit is not instantaneous, because it has to overcome weather and bugs and weeds and poor soil and neglect. Likewise, in our journey to joy, we're faced with the waves of apathy, the currents of pessimism, the deluge of doubt, and the waterfalls of despair. There is no way we can manufacture this fruit on our own." End quote. Thank you, God, that you are the source of joy. We cannot manufacture joy, true joy, in ourselves or in other people. Think about it this way. If you wanted someone to relax, maybe I would like for Shirley to relax. I wouldn't say, "Relax!" Right. If I wanted to say to Lisa, "Go to sleep," I wouldn't say, "Go to sleep!" I'm a hypnotist and I didn't know it. If I were to turn to Gwen and say, "Be joyful!" That's not going to do anything for these people just because you say it. So Paul reminds us that joy is through Jesus. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." There's the reminder. That is the source. That is the root of the joy. Now, in another epistle to the Galatians, he was also talking about joy, because in the Galatians he gave the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But before he talked about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians, he asked the Galatians a question, and this is it. It's from chapter 4, verse 15. Here's the question. What has happened to all your joy? What has happened to all your joy? Why did he ask that question? There must have been a problem. Something must have happened to their joy. You know what? There are joy busters on the loose in this world, and there are joy busters on the loose in every church I know. Here are two of them. Unresolved conflict and unconfessed sin. If you've got either of those in your life, those are joy busters. If they have them in the church, they're joy busters. They will make us into disgruntled Christians rather than enthusiastic Christians rejoicing in the Lord. I want to talk about them just briefly. Unresolved conflict. Life is full of conflict. The devil knows that. The devil causes that. The devil nurtures that. He loves that. And Jesus Christ made it clear. Deal with your conflicts. Now listen up, folks. Some people hate conflict. Some of you are listening to me right now and saying, oh, that's me. Some people hate conflict. They hate it so much that they will do anything to avoid conflict. And when they do avoid conflict, it remains unresolved. And you know what? Here's the irony. That creates more conflict. And it also interrupts personal relationships. It is a huge joy buster. How are you doing on your conflicts? What about unconfessed sin? Guilt can gut joy faster than just about anything. And when you try to hide your guilt from God, and when you fail to confess your guilt to your brothers and sisters, joy is on a quick trip to Never Never Land. It just won't be there. Psalm 32, verse 2. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Let's rephrase that. Blessed is covenant fellowship. When our sins against God are not hidden, but confessed and forgiven. When our sins against one another are not hidden, but confessed and forgiven. Blessed is covenant fellowship when there is no deceit in us. Now, when David wrote Psalm 32, he made this confession, quote, it's a warning, by the way, quote, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. How are your bones? Verse 4, for day and night your hand, O God, was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as the heat of the summer. How is your strength? Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin. I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my guilt, the guilt of my sin. How is your honesty with God? How is your honesty with God when it comes to your sins? Christian joy is a gift from God, but it requires something from you. Resolve your conflicts and confess your sins. Billy Sunday, great evangelist of the past, said this, the trouble with many men is that they have got just enough religion to make them miserable. I've known a lot of people like that. I will read it again. The trouble with many men is that they have got just enough religion to make them miserable. There is no joy in their religion. They've got a leak in their religion. Has any of your joy leaked out, brothers and sisters? Are any of you running on empty? The good news is that joy can be restored. Sometimes that's a very deeply spiritual thing, the restoration of our joy. But sometimes it's as simple as this little story that I'm about to share with you. There was a bank teller. And he tells the story. He said there was a particular customer that came into the bank very often, and he always had a sour face. He was always a grumpy man. There was no joy showing in him at all. And all of the other tellers did not want him to come to their window. So this particular bank teller decided to make that man his project. And so no matter what that man said, no matter how he said it, when he came to his window, the bank teller would always smile at him, and he would always act joyful. Sometimes he was even overly joyful with him. And he told this story. He said, "I also found that it kind of made my day better when I was joyful with him." Well, weeks passed, and one day, Mr. Grumpy came into the bank again, and he came up to this teller, and he said this, "Whenever I come in here, I'm disappointed when you are not available. I always feel better when I come to you in this bank and when you help me." And then a miracle happened. He smiled. He smiled. Lost joy can be restored by getting help from other people. Joy is contagious. Joy is contagious. Now, here's a challenge for you. I invite you to stand out there in the foyer with me every Sunday, or any Sunday. And I want you to watch who comes into that foyer lighting up the room. There is joy among us here, brothers and sisters. And I want you to notice who comes in complaining and grumpy with a long face. There are some people in here who have not met the best bank teller yet. And they need to get a little bit more joy. So rub off on them. How can you make them smile when they come to worship the Lord? Lost joy can be restored, and sometimes God uses you to do it, to help somebody else get in touch with the joy that He's put in us. Every one of us needs every one of us to help with this. "Rejoice in the Lord always," said Paul, but he didn't stop there. He had more to say. Philippians 4:5. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Now, the word for gentleness that he used is epiakēs, and it's one of those Greek words that English just can't really translate. And that's why, if you look at various translations of this verse, you will see a number of different words there for gentleness. Gentleness is the NIV word. But in other translations, it's translated moderation. "Let your moderation be evident to all." And it's also translated patience. "Let your patience be." It's also translated softness or modesty or forbearance or magnanimity. Say that one fast 3 times. And you know, when I looked at that list of qualities, I had to ask myself, "Harry, is that the way you are or not?" How many times have I failed to be gentle? How many times have I failed to be patient? How many times have I failed to be soft or magnanimous? What about you? And what about our fellowship? Is there any room for growth in any of those qualities in all of us, in any of us? Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." There's another one of those verses in the Bible that just irritates the liver out of me. I mean, you know, here I am having a problem and somebody says, "Don't be anxious." Here comes Pollyanna once again. I don't want to hear that. In our human condition, we are all swimming in uncertainties and in interruptions and in surprises and in changes and in loss and in discrimination and in disappointments. And the fruit of all that is usually anxiety. But God said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." Billy Graham said this. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered on anything short of God and His will for us. Are any of you anxious? Is our fellowship here characterized by anxiety or by faith? Paul quickly moves on to the cure for anxiety, thankfully. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. It's like having a conversation with your friend on the telephone. By the way, did you know that God has a famous telephone number? It's 333. Did you know that? Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer. Did you know that he said that? That's his telephone number. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Lord, what's going to happen to my children? Call to me. Lord, is this illness going to change my life? 333. Lord, what do you want me to do next? 333. Lord, is covenant fellowship going to survive into the future? 333. Is it okay to talk to God about everything? Well, duh. Yes! He just said it. In everything. Present your request to me. He is our heavenly Father. How many of you have ever had children? Raise your hands. How many of you ever had children? Okay. Children. How many of you had children? Okay, raise your hands. Did you ever turn them away when they came to you with their problems? Even if it was a simple little problem that just needed a little kiss on the bump to make it feel better? Everything. Did you turn them away when it was a little bit worse and it was blood and you had to put a Band-Aid on it? Everything. Did you hold them and rock them and sing to them and read a story to them and tuck them in to bed at night before turning out the lights? Everything. Did you stick with them when their new favorite word in life was no? Or when their hormones started raging and they began to rebel against you? Or when they lied to you, or when they lost their job, or when they lost their spouse or a friend? Did you weep when they disappointed you, or they turned their backs on you, or they ignored you? Everything. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He said, take all that to Him. We've all done that to Him. Have a conversation with God about everything and anything, and take it to the Lord in prayer. And when you do, remember these three things: the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. When you pray to God with trust in His love and His wisdom and His power, some wonderful things begin to happen. So God said, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray. Pray about everything. But don't just pray. Also, petition me. Ask and seek and knock. And as you know, the tense of the verb there is ask and keep on asking and seek and keep on seeking and knock and keep on knocking. And when you do, God said, and be thankful. Don't wait for November and Thanksgiving Sunday to come. Be thankful all the time. And oh yes, rejoice. I will say it again. Rejoice. And finally, we come to the end of this passage, and this is the prize. This is the most important part for most of us. It's the real focus of today's message. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who here does not cherish God's shalom? Who here does not need God's peace? In these wonderful verses, Paul gives us the keys to experiencing God's mysterious peace. Here are the keys: rejoicing in the Lord, growing in gentleness and patience, rejecting our tendency to be anxious, and talking to God about everything. Those are the keys. Someone cleverly summarized this whole thing this way. It's called the four P's: praise and poise and prayer equal the prize. To praise is to rejoice in the Lord. Prayer is in everything, and that's with petitions as well. And the prize, oh, the prize. The prize is peace that passes all understanding. I want to read this passage to you again, and I want you to listen carefully for something. This is the pearl that is buried inside this passage. Philippians 4, 4 through 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That's the pearl. We could put a therefore into the scriptures right there. The Lord is near. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. At the beginning of the New Testament narrative, the birth of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of the angels was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. At the end of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, in the great vision of the last times, it says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. John Greenleaf Whittier gave us these words, and Frederick Maker put them to music. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Praise and poise and prayer equal the prize, which is peace. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us, you have equipped us, you have gifted us, you have encouraged us, I pray convicted us to rejoice in you, to praise you, to let our love for you be seen by others, to pray and talk to you about everything and anything always with thanksgiving. And we thank you that you give to us that wonderful prize, the peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name.